We want to take our text from the book of John, chapter number 4. Verses 1 and verse number 2. We're continuing on the subject of God calling out His first church. I'm thankful to know that God did call out His first church. The world today don't understand this. But the Lord has a reason for this. The Lord wants us to understand when He called out His church. We've gone through this in three or four sessions. I'm not sure how many right now. And there may be some repeat this morning about the things of the past that we've talked about. But we want to make it very clear that God is calling out His church, that God wants His church to portray Him, to be true to Him, always in their life. That's a difficult thing, because it's easy sometimes just to forget those things. It's easy just to lay off these primary doctrines and go on to something else. But it's very essential that we understand that Christ started His church during His own personal ministry. The church was not started on the day of Pentecost. A lot of people believe that it was, but it was not started then. Jesus Christ started His own church before the day of Pentecost. He wants us to know that that church that He started in that time has continuity even until this time. That's been 2,000 years ago. That's a long time ago. But that church still has continuity. That church has had other churches started from it. But the first church went out of existence. The church at Jerusalem, it actually ended. But the church at Antioch picked it up and followed through. We said, I think it was last Sunday, that there were three things going on in the book of John, chapter 4, three things. Number one is that the Lord was organizing His church. He was setting it all up and setting it all up in order. And then number two, the Jews were against it. And you can mark it down that if the Lord is for something, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were against it. They didn't like it at all. Another thing that was happening was that the Romans were going to come. All of Jerusalem and take it all captive and then disperse all the people into all the lands. That was happening. That was formatting and all that was what history tells us that has happened. But read here in the book of John, chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says in verse number 1, when therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus has more disciples than John. And then there is a parenthetical expression in verse number 2. And sometimes we might just overlook that. It's a small little verse. It doesn't mean very much, right? Wrong. That verse means a lot. The Bible says, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. This scripture, that the disciples, not Jesus, baptized after they were baptized. And who were they baptized by? John the Baptist. He came to to preach the baptism of repentance, saying to them that believe that they should be baptized. John was the first one. Who baptized John? Nobody. He was sent by God and to baptize. That's what he was done. That's what happened to him. Now, understand that all now, just to go back just a little bit. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And verse 22. Ephesians 1 and verse number 22. Ephesians 1, 22. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse number 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him. Now this is God that's done this. He's put all things under the feet of Christ and gave him, that is Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what the Bible says there, that Christ is the head of his church. Christ ought to be our head. Somebody looks at this thing and says, no, the pastor is head. And listen, the pastor is not the head of the church. If you believe that the pastor is the head of the church, then what happens to the church when the pastor dies or gets sick and he can't pastor for a while? That's happened in this church. There was a time that I got sick, and the members of this church, they took over. But they always wanted to do what Jesus wanted them to do. I had a stroke one time. And I didn't hardly know where I was for a little while. There was a nurse in our church. She's still a member. And the church didn't know what to do, because I was not rational. I'm hardly rational now, but I was not rational then. And she said, give him 6 months, and then you'll know whether he will gain enough strength that he could pastor again. That's what she said. And the church took her advice. I thank God they did, because the Lord enabled me to have, I returned. I'm not quite like I was. I can see, I know that. I can see that. But I'm thankful that the Lord enabled me to pastor again. This church, the same church. I'm thankful for that. So understand that Christ is the head of the church. I'm not. I am simply the pastor of the church. I don't make all the decisions of the church. I don't do that. The church does that. We'll do that tonight in a business meeting. That's what we do. We take care of our own business. I'll tell you something else. Did you know that we are an independent Baptist church? Did you know that? You know what that means? That means that Jesus Christ is our head. That's what that means. Somebody said to me, where is your headquarters? They're in heaven. So, no, I don't mean that. I mean, where do you get your literature from? We use the Bible. Did you notice that? In our Sunday school classes, these men that teach the Sunday school class, where do they get their scripture from? What book they use? They use the Bible. Andy gave a lesson today in devotions, right? Where did he get that from? Did he get that out of a book? I tell you where he got that. When he was climbing up those hills. That's where he got that. God gave him that. God did that. It's a lot better when God is in charge. Things just go a lot better. When God knows, He knows what He's doing. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Have you ever caught yourself in that situation? Well, you've done something and then suddenly you say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. You ever done that? Yeah. Jesus has never done that. Because He always knows everything that He's doing. He knows the ins and outs of how it all is going to work. That's why we need to trust in Jesus, because He knows it all. I mean, He knows the things that you need. He knows the things that I need. Somebody say this. Why then do I sin? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do you sin then? It's to show you that you need Him to take charge of your life. That's why you sin. If you just kept on floating along like you were, you would think He was in charge of your life. The best thing you can ever do, though, is to turn your life over to the Lord and let Him have control. That's the best thing you can do. You say, well, the Lord don't know what I need. Oh, yeah. I'm afraid the Lord knows more what you need than you think He does. He knows exactly what you need. I tell you what God can do, too. I tell you what, God is amazing. It's amazing grace that He loves us with. It's amazing. But God can take care of your children when they're out of your control. How can that happen? I'm a witness of that. And I tell you what, you are too. I remember my daddy telling me this about driving a car. He said, I can't be with you. I do not know what you're going to be doing. But he said this. He said, God knows. He's watching you, and He knows exactly what you're doing, and He knows when that car goes faster than 40 miles an hour. I tell you what, that thought was back in my mind when I was driving that car. It was. I'm not saying I'm perfect, because when I was thinking the speed limit shouldn't, I don't want that speed limit to go over 40. You know what I thought? I thought, I could spin my tires. I could spin Daddy's tires. As long as that speedometer didn't get above 40. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Am I a sinner? Yes, I need somebody to lead me. And that's what I'm saying, is that we need God to lead us. We need God to direct our steps every day which we live, because we're sinners. We're sinners. We might be a saved sinner, but we're still a sinner. We've got a depraved mind. I tell you what, and the devil will do all kinds of things to slow you down, to stop you in your tracks. I've said all that. I'm supposed to be preaching about the church. Understand that Jesus Christ is the head of His church. He's the one that organized His church. He's the one that calls it out. He's the one that wants us to ever do what He wants us to do. Let me go back. The book of John, chapter 4. The reason I said all these things is that we need to understand that Jesus Christ started His kind of church before the day of Pentecost. Any church that you go to, any church, and they'll say to you, "We started on the day of Pentecost." No, they're wrong. And you can mark it down. You don't need to be associated with them. There's churches that started during the Reformation. That's not right. They should have gone back and found a scriptural church that they can go to, that they can be associated with. All I'm doing is telling you what the Bible says here. I'm not trying to point out us as being superior to anybody else, because you know and I know that we're not. The only reason that God has blessed us as a church is because we're trying to do what He wants us to do in this wicked world. That's the only reason. That God has protected us. That God has watched over us. That's the only reason altogether. In John chapter 3 and verse number 22, the Bible here records that after these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized. And so here, the Bible indicates in verse number 22 of John chapter 3 that Jesus and His disciples went into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them. There Jesus Christ stayed with them and baptized. And you might read verse number 22 and decide that Jesus Himself was baptizing. But that's why you need to read the whole Bible and find in John chapter 4 and verse number 2 that little parenthetical expression that says that Jesus Himself didn't baptize anybody, but His disciples did. I've heard people say that they believe in Luke chapter 6. And I just want to touch on this very briefly. In Luke chapter 6, this is when the Lord's church was organized. Luke chapter 6. But this is not when the church is organized. This church was, in Luke chapter 6, this is when the Lord called out His apostles. The infant church was already organized, but Jesus Christ is now adding these apostles to it. I won't even read that Luke chapter 6, because you can, that starts in verse number 12 down through verse number 17. And there's three groups of people there that turned out in verse number 17. There was the apostles, then there was the church, and then there was a great multitude of people that was assembled there with them. But look in the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And verse number 1. John chapter 5 and verse number 1 says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, if you read verse number 2 down through about verse number 9, you'll find there that Jesus Christ healed a man that had an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus Christ asked him at this point, "Do you want to be healed?" In verse number 6. He said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man said, "Well, Jesus, I want to be healed. But the problem is that I don't have anybody. And when the water is troubled, when the angel comes and troubles the water, there's nobody that will come and let me down into the water that I might be healed." And Jesus said unto him in verse number 8, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to arise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, this passage begins in verse number 1, explaining that after that time there was a feast of the Jews. And then in verse number 9, it ends with the same wording saying, "And on the same day was the Sabbath." What Sabbath was that? This was not an ordinary Sabbath. It was not. This Sabbath day was a most holy day. This Sabbath day is the Passover. You know that the Jews, they called the Passover was also a Sabbath day. That's why they called it. And so it was a very holy day unto them. And for Jesus Christ to come on this holy day, this Passover day, and to heal somebody was a double offense unto them. It was bad enough that Jesus would heal somebody on the regular Sabbath day. It was bad enough. But for him to come and to heal on the Passover day was totally wrong as far as the Jews are concerned. It was a double offense unto them. It was horrible indeed. Jesus Christ has a reason for what he's doing. He healed this man on this great holy day for the Jews to show the unbelieving Jews that their religion was wrong. That's why he did that on that particular day. He had a reason for it. Jesus Christ always had a reason for what he was doing. And he was showing these people what he was doing. You might argue that John 5 and verse number 1 is not the day of Pentecost. But I would challenge you to show me why you believe that. That was, according to all reliable sources, the day of Pentecost. All that I have in my library, all of them, say that it was the day of Pentecost. These scriptures ought to prove to us conclusively that Jesus Christ had power, that he was organizing his church, that he was showing the unbelieving Jews his power, his strength, his might, and how that they ought to follow him. But they didn't. They didn't want to follow him at all. They want to do what they want to do. So much so that they crucified Jesus Christ. They did not want to serve him. They didn't want to give their lives unto him. But I tell you what, one of the best things you can ever do in your life, one of the best things you can ever do is to simply give yourselves unto the Lord. That's one of the best things you can ever do. And live your life the way God wants you to live it. In the book of Luke chapter 6, in verse 12 through 19, we referred to that a while ago. Luke 6, verse 12 through 19. That's not when the church is organized. I've got some Baptist friends that believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Because Jesus Christ called out his first church. Luke 6 and 13 tell us that there were these three groups of people that came down from the mount after Jesus had Christ had appointed him, his apostles. Came down with them, they stood in the plain, the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people. These were visitors to the services there. This teaches me more and more about why I should go to a church that believes that Jesus Christ organized his own church before the day of Pentecost, not afterwards. It is important to understand that baptism was before the day of Pentecost. Is before the day of Pentecost, not afterwards. That's plain from reading the passages that we've in John chapter 3 where Jesus went and the disciples were baptizing. It's important to understand that. It's also important to understand that the Lord's Supper was given by Christ, is instituted by Christ before the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ called on him his apostles, his disciples, and there he gave them the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost. It's amazing to me today that both the universal visible church, that's Catholicism, and the universal invisible church, that's all of Protestants. They observe both baptism and the Lord's Supper, but both of them are observing something that's contradictory to what they believe. Because Jesus Christ organized his own church before the day of Pentecost using baptism, and also gave them the Lord's Supper before Pentecost. But these churches believe that their church began on the day of Pentecost. It's a total contradiction. A total contradiction. The message of salvation is very clear. John preached that. John preached, you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. You need to come to the place of knowing that He is the Almighty God, that He is over you. Trust in Him. And then John preached baptism as well. And John refused to baptize people that didn't confess Christ. Very clear to me. But this message has become so muddled that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Paul tells what the gospel message is. It's amazing when you recognize that the church at Corinth was so confused about a lot of things. This was a church. That Paul gave them again what the gospel really was. And sometimes the world has become so muddled and so confused that they don't even understand what the gospel even is. Here's what the gospel is. This is what people need to hear. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. You're saved by the gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel, to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the scriptures there make it very clear what the gospel is to this confused church at Corinth. They were very confused. The book of 1 Corinthians tells about all the problems they had. But 2 Corinthians is a different book altogether, as if the book of 2 Corinthians was written to a different church. But it's the same group. Same group. They come to know their mistakes and how that they need to serve the Lord more than anything else. But today I'm afraid that many believe what they've been taught instead of believing what the Bible declares. It'd be real good if we could just go back and just concentrate on what the Bible says and not let the things of this world muddle our minds so much. I'm thankful that God has given to us the King James Bible. We can always read it whenever there's confusion that comes upon us. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have the opportunity to read the Bible and see for themselves that salvation is a free gift. And the devil has confused even the scriptures by producing many different versions of the Bible that just cause confusion. A lost person ought to be saved, first of all. They ought to trust Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing they can ever do. A lost person needs to trust Jesus Christ, recognize their sins, repent because they are a sinner, and trust Jesus Christ. Rely upon Him for their salvation. After that, then they can be scripturally baptized. Then they can become a member of one of the Lord's churches and be a part there. Many times, Satan has muddled all that. Don't let this happen to you. Read the scriptures for yourself and understand that God is still alive, that He's still well, and that Christ can still help you. He still can. Our prayer is today that you might see Jesus Christ. He is the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. And we need to follow Him be true to Him all the days of our life. Let's go, Lord, into a word of prayer if you would. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you might bless me, Lord, today. I pray, Lord, that you might forgive me, Lord, for my sins. I pray, Lord, that you might watch over this church. And Lord, I pray that you might bless in a great way. Lord, I pray that you might bless your word as it goes out, that people would understand, Lord, that you are the God they ought to serve and none other. Lord, I pray that you just forgive us for our sins, watch over us, and keep us close to you today. Lord, I pray for those who are lost, that you might bless them with eternal life. Lord, that they might see your greatness, your power, and your might. Lord, I pray that you just forgive us, watch over us, keep us close to you today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Brother.